equipment like this in the home of the future, we may not have to go to work.
Now, from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
In the 21st century, it may be that no home will be complete without a computerized communications console.
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Live from your computerized communications console. At 8:44, I read a great story and wanted to dig a little deeper on it in the Chicago Tribune the other day. A great D-Day story. As most of you know, Thursday is the 75th anniversary of the battle that saved the free world, and that's the Battle of D-Day. And I dare say that there's not a single person listening to this show that doesn't have some connection to somebody. That whole 6 degrees of separation thing, somebody who either served or knows somebody that served or is affected by somebody that serves, or we're all affected by the fact that they... The brave men and women in the planning stages as well that served on D-Day are the ones that allow us to be free. So I certainly hope you'll pause and reflect and share the story of D-Day, especially with younger folks, because don't assume it's being taught in school anymore. And anyway, Chris Gentry is someone who knows a little something about this. And Chris Gentry had lunch with the central figure in the story, hooked him up with a writer. And the rest was a Chicago Tribune history. And Mr. Gentry joins us now. First off, thank you for your service, Chris.
Thanks for having me this morning, Steve.
I don't know how you're general. Do I refer to you as general? How do you like to be referred to these days?
Well, you know, the folks around Rock Island call me general. You can call me Chris, and that'll do just fine.
Serves as Major General in the U.S. Army Reserves, over 35 years of active and reserve component experience. You know, my dad was a World War II vet. I've spent a lot of time around World War II vets. We're losing, as you know, more and more of them every day. And these are the greatest generation. These are the heroes that saved the free world. And the gentleman featured in this Tribune story is absolutely amazing. He is Mr. Henry. Help me out with the last name.
Well, I think only Henry knows for sure. I pronounce it Langrer, and I think that'll be a safe bet.
Henry Langrer, and Henry parachuted into France on D-Day. He was with, and I think friends with, that famous parachutist that ends up getting hooked on the church steeple, which you've seen in every D-Day movie you've ever paid attention to.
Right. It's an amazing story, and to sit down and to speak with Henry face to face about that, and he talks about it pretty casually, but just to think about what he went through on that day for the rest of us and for Western civilization is just amazing.
He talked about in the story about looking around as he's jumped from the plane, so they're parachuting down, and he's looking around and he's seeing an armada of ships below him. He's seeing, you know, who knows how many people also descending in parachutes around him. He's seeing planes flying in the distance and close to him. And he says in the thing, he said, I looked around and thought only America could do this.
Yeah, amazing. And only America, of course, with the help of its allies, could pull something like that off. And, it's interesting when we spoke with Henry on that luncheon date. I asked him. I said, "Well, what was going through your head on that day?" And he said, "You know, we were in England before we loaded onto the planes, and everybody was taking it pretty casually. You know, guys even whistling and singing. But of course, when they got into the plane, they started to go over the armada as you described. And then when they started taking fire, he said that's when things got a little bit more serious, in his words.
And I think I have this right. Correct me if I'm wrong. The day he parachutes in is the same week that he would have graduated from high school back home.
Exactly. That's amazing. 19 years old, and he's going through all this. And, you know, we talk about the Great Armada, you know, that was crossing the channel at that point. But you have to also remember that the planes that were part of that effort were under attack as well. And just, you know, he was watching planes go down to his left and right, and even men sitting next to him in the plane he was in being killed at the same time.
The general consensus is, and most war historians would agree with this, you can give me your military perspective on it, obviously, but we lose on D-Day, we lose Europe. Is there anybody that argues that point?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I think I don't know if it's general knowledge or not, but, you know, General Eisenhower prepared two messages for that day. One was announcing D-Day, but he also prepared one in the event that it wasn't successful. And, I think there might be a strong argument that had we not been successful on that day, it would have had severe repercussions.
Because it would have given Hitler and the Italians and others time to retool and do all the horrible things they wanted to do. Now, back to Henry for a second. So Henry parachutes in. As the story continues, he and a buddy who survived the landing take fire. They end up on the run, hiding in a barn, right?
Right, exactly.
And what happens from there?
Well, so then they Henry, who was trained in demolitions, his mission was to blow up a bridge. So he gathered up, from what we understand, he gathered up what men were available and set out to do that. And, of course, that area there was just littered with hedgerows, which, you know, have been growing for hundreds of years, just almost as thick as a stone fence to go through. And, mm-hmm. and so they're trying to dash from hedgerow to hedgerow to avoid the Germans. And unfortunately, in that process, they get captured by the Germans. And then he was severely injured and recovered from that, but then was sent off to work in the coal mines for the Germans after that.
And in the process, and I think the way he puts it in the story, there was hand-to-hand combat, and in the process, he—I don't think he used the word dispatched—but he dispatched with one of the Germans, so that he could proceed with his mission. Again, this is a kid. This is a 19-year-old kid who's doing this.
19 years old. And, you know, I think one of the really interesting aspects of all this is they, you know, not only are they contending with World War II and D-Day, but think about what they contended with the Great Depression before they even got to that point. So this is like jumping from the frying pan into the fire. And the fact that he had that grit, that persistence, that resilience to survive not only the airborne mission, but then to be captured and then to survive on the ground through all that experience afterwards is just incredible.
Did you have an opportunity to ask him if he dreams about it or if he thinks about it often?
You know, I don't remember asking him that question, but, you know, if you look at his life afterwards, you know, he went back to Clinton, Iowa. He started his own construction company, very successful with that. Fathered a wonderful family who continued his service to the country as well. So he came out of that amazingly healthy, you know, both physically and mentally and emotionally.
You know, if there's a texture chimes in here. If D-Day failed, Stalin would have conquered Germany and dominated post-war Europe in a bigger way, and that's obviously a fair argument as well. The amazing thing about our friend Henry here is sharp as a tack. I mean, I'm sure he's got plenty of aches and pains, but sharp as a tack and an amazing guy to talk to. And like everybody who survives, who served then, is incredibly modest. It really never, I don't know why it always surprises me, but just incredibly modest about what they accomplished and what they did.
I think that speaks to the times that he lived in. I think, you know, there's part of the Midwest culture that's probably in that as well, too. And then, you know, the kind of the stoic, let's be very humble about this, but let's get the job done. And then, of course, his own German background as well, which is a unique aspect of this whole story. That probably lends into that as well, too. So really amazing. And I think, you know, he didn't, probably for a long time, he didn't have an opportunity to talk about it. That just, you know, just wasn't done back then. But now, of course, he's receiving the recognition, and we're very glad of it.
Such an important part of history, and I don't feel we teach it deeply enough in school where kids are going to understand it. And that's why I urge you to talk about D-Day to your kids this week, 75th anniversary coming up. You know, speaking of that, Dave Ennett and I, we've spoken about this before. Guys in baseball and basketball and football, do they understand the guys that came before them and the difference Curt Flood made in the history of baseball? And, you know, this goes to you, General. I mean, do you think young enlisted understand what D-Day was about?
You know, I think it probably loses some of its resonance over the course of the years, and I don't know that that's too unusual. I think in the military, though, we hopefully do enough to commemorate and to remind folks about this that that they don't forget it. And, it, you know, it's interesting. I was doing a little research on Henry myself, and I ran across an article from the Des Moines Register in 2014 that I think really sums up Henry's story and his contribution. And it said, 7 decades ago, America didn't have smart weapons or smart bombs, but it had men who were smart, and Henry Langford was one of them.
How about that? What a great lead. That's tremendous. General, I almost called you Colonel. General, thank you. Thank you for giving us some background here, because this is a great man who deserves to be celebrated, and I'm happy we're able to talk to him. And that great man will join us tomorrow morning at 7:10. So thanks for giving us some background on him.
Steve, thanks for having me this morning and for allowing us to share Henry's story.
Thanks for your service, General Chris Gentry, Major General Gentry, in the U.S. Army Reserve, 35-plus years himself.